Ah, the good old days. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Y'all say it with me. Ah, the good old days. When people knew their Bibles, when churches were growing, when pastors were looked up to, when smoking was good for you. For about 16 centuries in the West, what we call the West of the world, Christianity held power. And not just in the church, but in the social sphere and political spheres. This is what many commentators call Christendom, where Christianity was the dominant force influencing politics and social norms and spiritual life and entertainment even. 16 centuries is quite a run. Most think that we are, in the West anyway, in the demise of Christendom. And some happily declare that, and others, especially church types, find ourselves saying, ah, the good old days. This is where people find, the people of Israel, find themselves in Jeremiah 29. We find out about the situation in verse 1. It says, these are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. In 586 BC, Babylon did the unthinkable. It was unthinkable to most of the Jewish people. He came into Jerusalem, he invaded, he destroyed their temple, and he took many of the Jews and exiled them to the various cities of Babylon. And they were forced to live in what seemed to them, and what really in many ways was, just another world, a completely different culture. Not a culture that was worshiping Yahweh and trying to follow him, but a culture of people who worship pagan gods and did things completely differently. And the people of Jerusalem, or the Jewish people, are saying, ah, the good old days. When we lived in Jerusalem, when we worshiped God, when we loved each other, when we were wealthy and prosperous and happy. And they wished they could go back. And many of the prophets were actually telling them that that was going to happen. They were saying, this will only be, in 2 years, this will all be over. God will take us back. And all the people said, amen. Those were the popular prophets. Jeremiah was not a popular prophet. Most true prophets are not popular. And Jeremiah has a message from the Lord for the people who are in exile, who are yearning for the good old days. And I want to share that message with you this morning. It's really threefold. There are three parts to his message. And the first is quite simply that the good old days weren't so good, from God's perspective at least. In verse 1, it talks about the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. You heard that? Listen to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. It was God who sent his people into exile. Much of Jeremiah's prophecy is about the ways that even though the old days looked good on the outside, they weren't good on the inside. How people were taking God's blessings for granted and ignoring God's ways, worshiping other gods, doing things their own way, ignoring justice, ignoring mercy, ignoring compassion, doing the rituals, but not really seeking to connect and follow Yahweh. They were ignoring what it meant to be God's people. Back in Genesis 12, and we've read Genesis 12 probably a handful of times at least since I've been here because it's so important, sets the stage for what it means to be God's people. God says, I will bless you to Abraham and to his descendants so that you will be a blessing. And God's people were taking the blessings for granted and not being a blessing to others, to the nations. So the good old days weren't so good, says Jeremiah. Secondly, he says, the good old days ain't coming back anytime soon. That whole two-year thing, that's not from God. In verses 8 through 10, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream. It's that two-year thing, that you're going to be back in Jerusalem in 2 years. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Not 2 years, 70 years. Multiple generations, a whole lifetime for many people. The good old days ain't coming back anytime soon. And if we take God's blessings for granted, like any good parent, God takes away the blessings, right? If our kids start to get so involved in the things, we need to take away the things to appreciate what is truly worth appreciating, right? And that's what God does. And he says this parenting process, this training process is not going to take 2 years. It's going to take 70 years to retrain my people to do what my people do, to be a blessing to the world. Thirdly, Jeremiah says, in this time, in this 70 year, in this retraining process, he wants his people to recover their mission. Just recover the mission of God's people. He says in verse 5, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat what they produce, take wives, multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. He says, these people may be pagans worshiping other gods. They may be doing awful things, things that God wouldn't smile on. He says, seek their good. Be a blessing to them. Pray for them. Kind of reminds me of Jesus, right? Love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. That's what God says to the people to do in their time of exile. In essence, since they wouldn't step out of their comfort zone to go and bless the nations on their own, God gave them a little boost. And he says, do what God's people do. Bless the world. So according to Jeremiah, this exile period is a chance for God's people to recover their purpose, to retrain themselves in being what God's people are meant to be. And in this message, we see a message for us as well. That God's people are not, that God hasn't called his people to survive. God has called his people to thrive. Wherever we are, whatever our circumstances are, God has called us to thrive. Now, last week we began our summer series called Glad You Asked, and I invited you all to share, what do you want me to preach on? And last year we talked about the question, what should I do with my life? And we said, basically, the key to understanding what to do with your life is to first of all and foremost, most importantly, surrender to God. And as many of you were walking out, I got a response, another question that wasn't on the sheet, but I thought it was worth talking about this week. How? How do I live in God's will? How do I surrender to God? How do I not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind? How do I listen to God? How do I surrender to God? How do I do that on a daily basis, was the question. And I thought that was worth talking about a little bit, and it brought me back to Jeremiah 29. Because in Jeremiah 29, the how of living as God's people begins with this realization of what God has called us to. Be a blessing to the world. Recover the mission of God's people. I think like the exiles of Israel, most of us are just kind of trying to survive. Just waiting for whatever stage of life we're in to get done before we can start really living the life that we want to live. Just waiting until we can get this job out of our way and retire. Just waiting until whatever health issue we're going through to be cured. Just waiting for our kids to grow up and get out of the house. Just waiting for this day to be over. Just waiting for this week to be over. Just waiting for this month to be over. Everybody's working for the weekend, right? Just waiting for that to be over so then I can enjoy a few days to myself. And we need to hear Jeremiah's message that God has not called you to survive. He's not called you to survive whatever situation you're in and wait till that's over so then you can start following God and living God's will. God's will is that you would thrive now, right now. In fact, God's calling has nothing to do with surviving. It has nothing to do with maintaining a certain lifestyle. It has nothing to do with just getting through this time period. It has everything to do with being a blessing to the people that God has put in your life and seeking their welfare. That's where Jeremiah begins. It says, if you want to live God's will, if you want to know what God is doing, seek the welfare of the people where I've put you. Seek to thrive now. Don't just try and survive the exile. Thrive in the exile among the people where you're living. And then, this is what Jeremiah says. For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then, when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where you have driven. I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the places from which I sent you into exile. So we recover the purpose. Then we see what God really has for us in store. Because friends, I think that the life of trying to survive is exhausting. Is it not? Isn't trying to survive exhausting? But not only is it exhausting, it's also boring. You survive one day so you can survive the next day, so you can survive the next day with the same anxieties that you just have to work your way through, with the same problems you just have to face day in and day out. You survive and survive and survive, and nothing ever really happens. The life of thriving is also exhausting. You will be exhausted if you seek to live a life of thriving. If you are seeking to bless people and serve people and love people and seeking their well-being and their welfare, you're going to be exhausted. But here's the thing. That kind of life is also challenging and life-giving and exciting and fulfilling. One more click. Because God takes care of the surviving for you. That's the gospel. God will take care of your survival. One more click. And that life of thriving comes back to you. You give your life and life comes back from God, from the people around you, from the community around you. Both surviving and thriving is exhausting. But when you thrive, you get life. When you thrive, you seek the Lord and you find Him and He hears you. And He restores you. And He fulfills you. And in a life of thriving, the spiritual life, the how do I live this life? In a life of thriving, the spiritual life isn't a should. It is a thirst. It's a thirst. Because I think many of us think the how. You ask how, and the how is very, really simple. And we talk about it all the time. Digging into Scripture. Worshiping, being with the community, seeking God in prayer. The how do I live in God's will is very simple. But most of us view it like a should. These are things I should do. That's kind of like reading a study that says you should drink six glasses of water a day. So you look at that study and drink your water, and that'll last for a couple days, right? Then you're not going to do it anymore. When you are living a life of thriving, when you are trying to be a blessing to people and seeking their welfare, it's like when you're playing a basketball game and you come over the sideline and you grab that water and you gulp it down because you need it so you can get back into the game. That's what the spiritual life is in a life of thriving. You need it. You want it. You want to drink that water. You want to be refreshed. You want to come to worship on Sunday to thank God for the things that He's done in this past week. And you want Him to prepare you and refresh you for the things that are going to come the next week. You want to get into Scripture because you know that people are going to be asking you questions when you talk about your faith. And you want to know what God has to say about it. And you want to call upon the Lord. Because when you're living a life of thriving, it's hard, it's exhausting, and sometimes you don't know what to do. And so you got to pray, and you got to seek God, and you got to say, "What God, what are you doing? And I need you to do it too. I need to be in this with you, not just on my own." And so all of the hows of how do I live in God's will, we are only going to do those if we are seeking a life of thriving and not surviving. Does that make sense? The difference? If your life doesn't have a mission, if it doesn't have a purpose to be a blessing and to seek the welfare of others, then you won't do the how of the gospel life. Or at least for any period of time, you won't do it. When we are involved in the business of blessing others and seeking the good of others, then we will pursue the how. Now, I was thinking this week about a time in my life when I most felt like I was thriving and growing and really yearning to grow. And the time in my life when I grew the most and really felt like I thrived the most probably wasn't in seminary. It was in college. And Lauren and I went to, didn't go to a Christian school. It was kind of affiliated, but it really wasn't for all practical purposes, not a Christian school. And that was one of the best things for our faith. Because every day we were surrounded constantly by people who were hurting, by people who were in need, by people who didn't know God at all and didn't know His love for them. When I went to class in the morning, I sat next to the guy who smelled like he'd been up all night drinking, smoking, and sleeping on a park bench. When I went to baseball practice, every day, day in and day out, I got to hear the ways people on my team were hurting and struggling. We lived in the dorms. We're surrounded by people who you just watched destroy their lives. And that drove us back to God. We felt like exiles there. You know, we felt like we're different than the people around us. We're in a culture that we don't always agree with, and people we aren't always like. But these are people, the people we're called to bless and to seek the welfare of. And that's what Peter, in the passage we read from 1 Peter, did you notice that he calls the Christians exiles and aliens? Because they're living in that world, surrounded by need and hurt and people who don't know God, people who are destroying their lives unknowingly, thinking they're seeking their happiness, but really destroying themselves within. He says, "You are exiles." And when we understand that, we understand our need for God, our need for the how. When I was in college, I didn't start listening to Christian music because I felt like I should because I was a Christian. I started listening to Christian music because as I went through my day, I knew I needed that reminder going through my head. You know, does music get stuck in your head sometimes? Right? It does. And what I wanted stuck in my head were reminders of the gospel and what God has done for me and what God has called me to. That's why I started listening to Christian music, because I was living that mission. I needed that reminder. I started reading the Bible every day, not because I was like, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I should read the Bible." It was because I was interacting with people on a daily basis and I needed to have something to say. I wanted to know, what is God's story? How can I communicate this? How can I reach the people that are hurting around me? And so I read the Bible every day because I knew that I was going to be living on a mission that day. We gathered in community for worship because we were tired of living on mission as exiles in that community. And we gathered together to refresh and to pour into each other. And we spent time just talking about the gospel in the living room and in the dorm. We talked about it because we needed to face the challenges and the questions. Well, what about this thing that this person's going through? What do you say to that? And we would talk about it. We had community, not because we should have community, but because we needed community. And we wanted it so that we could live the mission more fruitfully and effectively. I think it's easy for a lot of us to be cut off from that mission, from the needs of the people around us. It's easy when we're not living in dorms where there are like, you know, you're sharing a bathroom with like 30 different people, okay? We don't do that, and thanks be to God for that. But I think in our lives, it's so much easier to be cut off from the mission and to be distracted by other survival things. Like, we have more survival things now, right? You got to pay the bills. You got to, whatever, water the lawn, all the things that you got to do. It's so much easier for us to be distracted from the mission and to forget that God has called us to be a blessing, not just to survive, but to thrive. And so, you want to ask, how do I live in God's will? Jeremiah's response is not wait 2 years and you'll get back to it. It's recover the mission of God's people. And so I have two suggestions for us this week on how we can do that in our lives. This summer, really since May, we've been talking about three people. I asked you to think of three people in your life that God, you think God might have called you to make an impact on in some way. Okay, if you haven't done that, think about it. And there's a place on page 6 in your bulletins to write down the names of those three people. And then this week, what I want to encourage you to do is to try and creatively come up with one or two ways to bless those people, to seek their welfare, to go out of your way to serve them. So hopefully you spent some time praying for them in the past couple weeks, and you can keep doing that, please. But this week, find one or two ways that you can be a blessing to them, how you can use your blessings to bless them. Okay, so that's number one. The number two you can find on page 5 of your bulletins. Kind of made a chart for you, because the places that we live life are so varied. You know, we at work, social places, neighborhoods, families. These are all places where we're called to live on mission, called to be a blessing to people. And I've encouraged you to just spend some time thinking about the ways that you can be a blessing in those places. How you can bring the knowledge and the good of God's, of the gospel to people. How you can make people feel loved. And just ask yourself some of these questions. In my family, what are the needs? What are the needs people have? What are my passions and gifts? What are the things that God has given you to live on mission? What do I need from God to make an impact? Remember the how, the scripture, the worship, the community? You need things to live on mission. So what do you need to really be a blessing in that place? And then come up with some ideas. How am I God calling me, not just this week, but beyond, to be involved in my family and my workplace, in my neighborhood, maybe in Toledo or in wherever you are from in Michigan or in Ohio or in the United States or, you know, whatever, wherever the place you are, how has God called you and equipped you to be a blessing to others? And just brainstorm. Be creative. Prayerfully ask God for some ideas about those missions that He sent you on. This is a good one for Father's Day, too. Fathers, how can you not just survive your family and your kids? How can you thrive in that family and bring a blessing and seek welfare and help them to grow in your household? That's the question for you to ask this week. So the question at hand is, how do I live in God's will? And what I want to suggest is the deeper question is this. Do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? Because we only have so much energy, right? You kind of got to pick one. The gospel call to us is to give our lives to thriving, to let God take care of the rest. He can take care of survival. As Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I don't survive, big deal. Because I would rather die in a life of thriving than just breathe for the sake of breathing, day after day after day after day. This is the life that Jesus showed us. He gave Himself up. He gave up the desire to survive and died on the cross so that we might live, not just live, but live abundantly in the fullness of the presence of God, in the beauty of our call to bless others. Let's pray. God, thank you for this calling. Lord, I think deep down a lot of us, we don't want to live a life of just surviving. Deep down, I think we know that we were called and made for so much more. And God, I pray that you would show us what that is. Help us to look around at the people that we see on a daily basis and the news stories that we read and the people that move our hearts and help us to see how we can seek their welfare, how we can bless them with the gospel, how we can share the good news of Jesus and live it out in the presence of people who don't know you. Lord, give us that deep and burning desire that says, I cannot get through another day of surviving. I want to thrive for the kingdom of God. And as we live that life, drive us back to you. As we seek you in prayer, as we gather for worship, as we dig into your scriptures, as we join in community, so that we can be lights and blessings to the world around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.